this year is the year that I am going to create programs for people who are neurodivergent to be able to practice this shit, because it's literally changed my life.
Welcome to Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business. This is the Woo Pod.
It's helped me to understand when I'm being a fucking arsehole. It's helped me to understand when someone else is being an arsehole and to be able to manage the fucking relentlessness that is life. But you don't have to practice it by sitting in silence for 20 fucking minutes a day.
Oh, I need you in my life so much more.
I love you so much.
I'm your host, Wendy Gannon, but most people call me Woo. I'm a photographer, ADHDer, female advocate, and let's be honest, an all-round fucking legend. Can you tell I didn't write this script? This podcast is part of Female 5 Million, a movement founded to empower women to step the fuck up, take control, and unapologetically own their space. It all started with some fucking Jebben's LinkedIn post spouting some sexist bullshit about how women should dress to succeed in business. And you know what? Stuff like that really fucks me off. It really fucks me off. So I posted about it, and that post ignited something bigger. A nationwide photography project, a full-blown fucking movement, and now this podcast. Here on the Woo Pod, we're raising the voices of women who refuse to be told what to do. Women who are done playing by the rules and are now saying, don't fucking tell me what to wear or how to run my business. If you've ever been told to tone it down, dress more appropriately, or run your business like a man, fuck that. Expect raw, unfiltered conversations with women who have fought through sexism, abuse, and outdated patriarchal bullshit to build success on their terms, all whilst wearing whatever the fuck they want. Oh, and there's more swearing than our producer is willing to beep out. Sorry, Buckers. Speaking of which, you'll probably hear me ask producer Buckers to chime in from time to time because, like, I give a shit what she says. We've both got ADHD. We bounce well off each other. Deal with it. We're here to celebrate women doing business their way and shine a spotlight on the incredible ways women are fighting back and lifting each other up. Because to be honest, that's what it's all about. And for those who aren't able to speak up right now, for whatever reason, I see you. Okay, let's crack on then. Hi, and welcome to the Woo Pod, and it's the Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business series. We are joined by Buckers and Amy Polly. Hi, Amy Polly.
We're so busy already.
I love you so much. So, Amy Polly, I would like you to introduce yourself, please.
Hello. I'm going to try. I'm taking a deep breath because when me and Wendy get together, it's like absolute
garbage. All three of us are ADA, or like we're screwed.
Okay. Hello. My name's Amy Polly. I love us. I am an international TEDx speaker, a mindfulness teacher. And I created a concept called mindfulness because I don't think mindfulness is accessible and inclusive to all. And I go out and teach people in the corporate settings. I go into schools and I talk about well-being. I talk about ADHD and I talk about mindfulness.
In fun and in pink.
Can you imagine Amy walking into your school?
I have a full
to do
I
a
have
tour.
A full cartoon tracksuit that I wear when I go into schools. That's my
You'd be over the moon, wouldn't you, as a kid?
So, Amy, we're going to talk a little bit more about your funfulness later. But what made you get involved with Female 5 Million?
You, because you're awesome.
Funny how everyone says that, Wendy.
I pay them.
We've all just been in situations where somebody, and look, it doesn't matter about gender, like somebody has put us down and we all get that fire in our belly that's like, no, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, fucking hell, this is my podcast.
Do you want to rethink that?
No, and I think it's just that fuck you energy. I feel like so many times in life, you don't get to like put that out there, you feel it, and you literally gave us an invitation to put it out there and to live it, And so I think that's what the thing was. It's like, oh, we get to actually say fuck you to something that we are not happy with. Let's go.
Fucking yeah. I love it.
So well put.
And so you and I went and we did a shoot on our own. You weren't involved in the studio stuff. You were one of the featured. Although everyone's featured now, like everyone's got their own page. Can you tell me how that was?
Oh, I thought we had a lovely time, didn't we? I absolutely loved it. It was so empowering. I loved every second of it. And of course, you are just a dream to be photographed by. I loved all the like direction and the moving of
just,
the hands.
Just
and the
do this. Just do this. She's like, what? I'm like, do this.
Even down to the shouting across the street from the guys working. It's just an experience, basically. And it felt very empowering. And I think that not you give that to people, Wendy, but also just being in that situation where you're being completely yourself, you're wearing the thing that makes you feel good. And like, I just felt great and I had a wonderful time. And then seeing the photos afterwards, I'm like, yeah, that's me.
It's so good. And then like on the way back to the station, we met the coolest man who had like an estate agent, but it looked like a flower shop, like a plant shop. What was his name? Can you remember his name? No, we can't remember his name. So tell me about your funfulness, Amy Polly.
Yeah, so that's what I did my TEDx talk about, and it was born, I actually can't even remember the moment that it sort of came to me, because I've been working in the area of mindfulness I've been teaching since 2019. I've been practicing myself for like 13 years. And I just felt like it's very samey. There's a lot of people. And by the way, I always have to caveat that I'm not saying this isn't good or lovely or beneficial, but it's very samey. Like, you know, there's a lot of calm voices and floaty dresses, and that is a big part of mindfulness. But for those of us who are neurodivergent, especially those of us who have got ADHD, that sometimes just doesn't feel doable for us. And I feel like it feels exclusive sometimes. As I've been working over the years, and I've worked volunteering for a local mental health charity, so people that are dealing with situations where they're not feeling mentally well, and then going into schools and going into SEN schools and working with lots of different adults as well, I just realized that the reason that people took to my teaching was because I turned up the way that I am with you today, and I'm giddy and I'm loud and I'm excitable. And I think that we really need to break the mold of what we see as a mindfulness teacher. And I think that funfulness just was born out of the fact that I want people to have fun. And I feel like people who are neurodivergent like really can connect with the feeling of fun and joy in learning, because we need that. And so funfulness is literally mindfulness plus fun. So taking the elements and the principles of mindfulness, but making them fun. So using things like coloured beanbags and coloured hoops and Lego and all of that good stuff, and active mindfulness to make it more accessible and more inclusive for people. Because at the end of the day, I want people to have a go and do it, because it can really help.
I fucking love that. Being, I don't know if anyone's noticed, neurodivergent myself. I loved two things about that. One is that you describe yourself as giddy and I describe myself as chaotic. Do we each have a word for ourselves? Buckers, have you got a word for yourself?
I don't think there's one word that I use consistently, because I don't do anything consistently. I've described myself as scattered.
Scattered. There you go.
I suppose I use the term all over the place. And it's always in a negative way, isn't it? And I noticed when Amy said giddy, and I just thought that's such a lovely expression, because it's really accurate, but it actually doesn't have negative connotations. It actually sounds fun. Like, it's fun to be giddy, isn't
it? Look at her. It suits her down to the ground. It suits you too. Giddy doesn't suit me. Chaotic suits me. 100%.
I don't know. You make me giddy. I think you're a bit giddy. You're excited.
I love you. And the other thing was, when you said that neurodivergent people, neurodiverse people, I never know how to fucking say it, neurodiverse people learn better with fun, or whatever you said. I use fun a lot in helping people to relax and be themselves with my photo shoots, right? So I think it's just a gift that we've got that we can use in anything, just being ourselves and having fun and having a good old jolly.
So, like, the science behind it, if you're having fun, if you're in a moment of play or joy, you can't not be present, because it's like a flow state. You can't not be present when you are having fun, or when you're playing, or when you're feeling joy. And so that for me was like the cherry on top. Like, fun is good for you, it feels nice, but it literally is mindfulness in and of itself anyway, because you have to be present. And you'll know that from when you are shooting people, and when they feel that joy, when they get into that moment of joyfulness, they're present.
Amy, would you be happy to talk about some of the negative, toxic men that you've experienced?
I would like to talk about it in general terms, I think, just because I feel like there's a lot of things. I wouldn't want to call anyone out specifically. Do you know what I mean?
No, 100%.
I mean, let's not beat around the bush. Everybody's going to have, I think most women have a story they could tell.
Yeah, 100%. You said something earlier that really made something alight, ignite. It was, what did you say when you said that it's really difficult to talk about?
Yeah, I think that sometimes you don't, well, this is how I feel anyway, and I'm sort of hoping that other people feel the same. There's so much talk around feminism, toxic masculinity, and there feels like somewhat of a divide. And I get scared sometimes about the language that I'm supposed to use, whether I'm saying or doing the right thing, because I know that I've had experiences, but I love everyone. And, you know, I find it really difficult sometimes that, oh my God, am I going to offend somebody if I talk about this because they were male? Am I going to offend somebody because I talk about this from a woman's perspective? I don't know. I see people online and I feel like they're so confident to have these conversations. And I feel like I don't actually feel that confident. All I can speak is my truth. And I know I'm doing it from a good place, but I still get a little bit scared that I'm like going to say the wrong thing or offend somebody, because it feels like such an emotional conversation the majority of the time.
Let me tell you a story of something that happened about 2 hours ago.
Oh, really?
We were recording a podcast with Jeremy Stockdale. And I was saying, like, oh God, I said something, Buck has disagreed. I went back into myself nearly crying because I thought that I'd said something stupid and everyone was going to hate me. And then Jeremy was like, no. And I was like, just delete it. Just cut it out. And then they were both like, no, it's important. I felt like I couldn't get my words out that I wanted to say. I also felt like, because I was kind of sticking up for men a little bit, that women were going to hate me, but I wasn't saying that men, do you know what I mean? So is that the kind of thing you mean?
Yeah, and I can see Buckers is nodding, so I'm presuming that she's putting the pieces together here for
yeah. she got so angry she put her hand on her
Amy
hip.
I put my hand on my hip. But I actually think the moment that Wendy's referring to is, let's add some context. We were talking about how Wendy was saying she thinks it's quite difficult for men these days to be able to talk to women. And I instantly got on my high horse and I was like, oh no. Oh, what? Just because they've got to now think about how to speak respectfully to women. Oh, poor men. But I think what we're both saying that men now do have to put more thought into how they speak with women, and that it's harder now for men to say the right thing. And I do agree with what Wendy's saying. My point was, well, I don't care that it's hard for them.
Yeah.
And I think actually, like, but the fact that you were concerned about how you were struggling to get your words out, I feel the same way about that as I feel about Amy, you saying that you don't feel that confident talking about this, because I think it's really important to acknowledge that we don't always feel really confident about what we're saying. And we know that we think something, and sometimes it's really difficult to articulate, and sometimes we're worried about how somebody else is going to perceive it. So we sort of like stumble on how to say it and what the right word to use is. And basically, this is a really waffly way of me saying, I really respect both of you for saying something that you're not exactly sure about how to word it. And just being really upfront about the fact that, yeah, I've got some views on this and I've got my own personal experiences, but I do struggle sometimes to have the confidence to talk about it in the same way that other people do. I think it's really natural to worry about whether you're going to offend people. And I think that just shows, that actually just shows that you're a nice person.
I didn't used to.
You're respectful. And so basically, I don't know if I've made any kind of coherent point.
Of course you have, darling.
I think it's really important. I really like the fact that we're kind of all acknowledging that
we don't fucking know.
We're not always super confident in, you know, I have some things that I kind of go backwards and forwards with. And I'm like, well, I kind of think this, but then when you consider that, it's also kind of this. And none of it's simple.
No, none of it is simple.
None of it's black and white.
What I tend to do if we're having a conversation with somebody, no matter what their view is, even if my view is the same, I will kind of just play devil's advocate and be like, yeah, but what have you thought about this? And it, because a lot of people's views, and this is also absolutely fine because I don't know, some of my views are so this is it and that's fucking final, that they haven't thought about anything or anyone else. I do like to play devil's advocate just to go, fuck you.
And I think that's, I don't know if you relate to this, Amy, but I feel like that's also a really neurodiverse trait.
Yeah, I think
because we've got very analytical minds, and I think that's how we have great conversations, right? By considering
I think we think differently, all of the
viewpoints.
It helps us have those conversations. We also have that real justice sensitivity, so we always feel like we need to stick up for people. But my thing just to say about this is that, you know, I grew up in a finance background. I've been through some really toxic relationships, abusive relationships, you know, in my romantic life. I've had some really crap experiences in my work life, and they, you know, that is from the opposite sex. But I think that when we're talking about this, you have to look at the statistics around, you know, the how many female founders there are, how many, you know, sort of violence there is towards women and all that. Like, the statistics do not lie, so that just is what it is. And then when we're talking about, you know, female empowerment, like, there just is inequality. There is a lack of equity, particularly in the workplace, particularly in entrepreneurship. And we've got all of these experiences where we are walking around, you know, fearful at a certain time of night, and we have to think about things a lot more than men. So, like, these are just facts. It's not my opinion. Like, that just is what it is. How we then talk about that and have the conversations as a whole is like this whole new world. Because when I was growing up, I love that song. But we just weren't having these conversations. It's different now. And so the conversations are different. And people, like my parents' age, my dad will not get it. Like, it just is. But we can't keep harping back. We've got to think about how we're all going to move forward together. And there's people smarter than me fighting for this sort of stuff and for the world to change. But we all know it. It's just that I think that we don't always all have the language to be able to share our experiences and what we want to see change. And there's a lot of people that do have that stuff.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good fucking point, because I don't need to be able to do it. Like, we're doing this, we're saying our views, but I don't need to have the language or be fucking educated
to. We do our part.
Picking
up for ourselves and challenging behaviour that is not acceptable. And we're doing that in our life, and we're having these conversations. And even if my dad doesn't want to listen, I still have the conversations with him about mental health, about, you know, female empowerment, about ADHD. If it goes nowhere, it goes nowhere. But I feel confident that I'm having the conversation.
That you've done your part,
pulling out the behaviour where I need to do it in my home, in my work, and in my life. And sometimes that is the best thing that we can do, especially if we're scared about saying it, like in the big wide world.
Yeah, 100%. Have you got any positive examples of men showing you their support?
Yeah, loads. I mean, when I was in the fire service, it was a very male-dominated environment. And like, I would say that two of the most senior people in the organisation literally had my back no matter what. And I never felt like there was a question between, like, as them. But then I've had men in the workplace that have given me shit for how my nails are painted or what I'm wearing, or tried to belittle me in a meeting because of some, I don't know, feeling that they've got that they need to feel more empowered. So I just feel like I've had some really shit experiences, but I've also had some amazing experiences where men have literally put me in front of the people that I need to be in front of as well. So really it comes down to making sure that that message and those people are educating and teaching the boys, of which I've got one who is six, in our life, to make sure that that is the overarching message that we continue to put out there, and that we support each other no matter who you are or what you do. So yeah, sorry, that was a really long way of saying yeah.
So well said.
Brilliant. How long have you worked for yourself?
3 years.
What do you wish that you'd known about being a woman in business before you started?
It's really fucking hard. And it's funny because things are going to be changing for me soon. Because I've always said it all along. You know, I love what I do. I've loved the flexibility. I've been around for my kid. But I have been fucking stressed a lot of the time because it is relentless. And you'll know this as well. We have very short attention spans. If you're not putting yourself out there, you're easily forgotten, especially in the work that we do. You know, I'm not belittling. I used to be in finance. I was an accountant, but everybody needs an accountant. Not everybody always needs to look after their well-being. They do, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I am a luxury.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that, you know,
in every sense of the word.
Yes, she is. I think that there is more now than even 3 years ago when I first started. When I first started 3 years ago, it felt very glamorized and the coaching industry was booming. I'm not a coach, but that was booming. The social media influencer world was booming. And so it was very glamorized. And I think now that's starting to slow down a bit. And you're seeing more people on LinkedIn, on Instagram saying this is really fucking hard. And it's hard a lot of the time. But most of the time, the delivery of what you do, because you're doing something you fucking love, because there's no way you'd run a business if you didn't love it because it's so hard. So the delivery of what you do and seeing those light bulb moments keeps you fucking going.
Oh, absolutely. It's really hard. And I'm very open with how hard, like when I'm struggling on LinkedIn, I'm very open about it. Like, I think it was last June, May, June, I hadn't sold anything for like 2 months. It was shit. It was really shit. I had to borrow money to pay my rent. Everyone thinks that it's all bloody brilliant and sunshine and roses. I hadn't sold anything because I was so busy. I hadn't done the other work, right? So I ended up with nothing. And I put a post up going, hey, I'm skint. There's literally everybody's talking to me and saying this is the same thing, no one's got any work, what's going on? And that was one of my best posts because everyone was like, thank fuck someone said it. Like, I thought I was alone and I thought I was shit at my job. Also, it's really fucking lonely at the beginning. It's really fucking lonely
and people are like, you're doing what?
Right, I mean, I had a couple of my friends say to me after I'd been successful, we nearly sat you down and told you that doing your photography full time was a mistake. And I was like, I'm very happy you didn't do that because I don't think we'd be friends anymore.
I think I'm so glad that I did it. Like, it's been really hard, but I'm just of the mindset that if I didn't try, then I would never have known. And so whatever happened, I'm just glad that I fucking did it. And it does mean that I spent more time with my kid. But I think, you know, when we're talking about the male-female divide, there is no getting away from the fact that a lot of the childcare does still fall to women. And I think that, you know, I'm so lucky that I co-parent 50-50. But those weeks that I have my child, I'm essentially a single mum because I've got him like on my own, because then he goes to his dad's for a week. So I have that time divided 50-50. But when you have to have the school run and entertain a six-year-old and think about lunch and think about school and think about all the things you need for that, and then you need to think about entertainment at the weekend, and I'm supposed to be doing my admin and my invoicing and doing my social media and delivery of my work, like, it's a lot. It is a lot. And, you know, there's whoever is the main, you know, child care provider in the relationship, it doesn't really matter. If you're trying to run a business as well, it's a lot.
It's a lot when your kid's 25 and they look after themselves. And they don't even fucking live with you. It's a lot. I want to circle back a little bit to when you were talking about swaying skirts and mindfulness being this big thing, and it's not for us. It's not for us. I can't fucking do it. Have you tried meditating for your ADHD? Fucking yes. Yes, I fucking have.
Yeah, for about 30 seconds.
I can't do it. Also, I can't see pictures in my head, which is weird as I'm a photographer. I literally can't see. There's nothing there. I've just got the narration. There's no pictures. So when they're like, it's so, it's mad, right? I went to, so Michelle Hartley, love you, well, did a conference thing, and somebody did a talk on that. I can't remember what it's called because I've got ADHD. She said, like, everybody put your hand up if you can see pictures in your head. And then she put, fucking sidebar, then she put, like, pictures of apples. So there was an apple that was just a full apple. Then there was a black and white apple. Then there was an outline of an apple. Then there was, like, just a shadow of an apple or something. And then there was nothing. And she was like, who can see this first one? And, like, loads of people put their hand up. And as it went on, fewer people put their hand up. And I think there were three of us in the room that couldn't see anything. And she was like, you fucking slay. I was like, yes, I know. I was working at that time, but I was standing at the back of the room putting my hand up. I was like, that's me. It's so interesting. And, like, I could talk about this all day.
This is the thing, Wendy. It's the literal understanding that we are all different. So whether it's neurodivergent or what, it doesn't matter. I've been in a room where I'm teaching mindfulness and someone has epilepsy, so they can't close their eyes to meditate. It doesn't matter, because there are things that we can do to adapt to that. And it's the same for you. I'm fucked if I'm having you saying I can't meditate, because I am going to get you to meditate, because there will be something that I can do. I'm not going to do a visualization with you. That's not categorically a mindfulness meditation anyway. But there is something that I will be able to do with you that is practicing mindfulness that isn't necessarily meditating, sitting in silence, focusing on the breath, whatever it is.
I, to be fair, I worked with Dion Slater to do some rapid transformation therapy. So it's like hypnotism stuff. And then she had, and then she gives you like, you have to listen to something for 21 days, whatever. I still fucking listen to it now. But through practice and her telling me exactly what to do and relax and stuff like that, I can kind of do it. Like, it's got to be guided.
But that's because we've been led to believe. Sorry, I'm going into it now. But that's because we've been led to believe that if you practice mindfulness / meditation, not the same thing, FYI. If you practice that, you're going to be sitting still. You're going to be calm. Yeah. You're going to be quiet. Who said that? Like, I just that's bullshit. The absolute essence of mindfulness is being aware. You are allowed to fidget and be aware that you are thinking a thought. You're allowed to fidget and be aware of your breathing. It doesn't mean you have to be like a fucking statue. That's just so unhelpful. And so that's why I wanted to create something new, because people don't want to listen. If I say mindfulness, especially if you're neurodivergent, people will run the other fucking direction.
Yeah, and 100%.
It's my absolute passion, and this year is the year that I am going to create programs for people who are neurodivergent to be able to practice this shit, because it's literally changed my life. It's helped me to understand when I'm being a fucking arsehole. It's helped me to understand when someone else is being an arsehole, and to be able to manage the fucking relentlessness that is life. But you don't have to practice it by sitting in silence for 20 fucking minutes a day.
Oh, I need you in my life so much more.
I love you so much.
Oh, I guess, like, going for a drive is mindfulness, right?
Yeah, you can't be doing anything. Well, you can. Your mind can wander, so it's not. But if you're driving, right, just notice the things around you. So as you're driving along, say to yourself, give way sign, pink car, green grass, road, red car, stop sign. As you're doing that, that is mindfulness, because you are literally not running away with thoughts. Your mind isn't going elsewhere. You are just present with that one thing that you're doing. That's mindfulness.
Okay.
Do you know what I've started doing as well? You know, people talk about journaling, and I know that journaling is like really, the people who love it, bloody love it and can't get enough of it. Great. I've tried it a few times, and when I'm able to concentrate on it and I've got a completely silent room and I'm able to like actually get in flow, fine. But that's very rare and I can't stay consistent with it. What I've started doing now is doing like little brain dumps onto a voice recorder as I'm moving, because I'm weird, I can't voice note if I'm sat down. Like if I'm sat at my desk and someone sends me a voice note, I can't reply to it with voice. I have to reply like manually. But if I'm on a walk or if I'm driving, if I'm physically in motion, then I can talk for days. I drove home from Cornwall yesterday. I had a 5.5 hour drive in the car. I started getting all of these ideas about work, ideas about like my 2025 intentions and ambitions, because I don't like calling them goals. Too much pressure. Ideas for new podcast ideas. I was just like recording little voice notes to myself. One of them I went on for 40 minutes just talking about all these reflections I'd had after a week by myself by the seaside, because I was house sitting for someone. Can tell I'd had a week on my own. But I just thought to myself, this is journaling. This is letting your thoughts run away, not self-editing, because when I'm writing, I will then get really overthinking about what words I'm using. And I'm like, oh, but what if I read this back and it sounds shit? Whereas when you're talking,
what if someone sees it?
It feels so much more, yeah, it feels so much more kind of
in flow
of the moment. And you're in, yeah, exactly. You're really present and in flow. And I was saying things, I was even impressing myself as I was saying them. I was like, oh, I didn't know I could think that thought.
Fucking love that.
Oh my God. I'm so freaking enlightened right now. And I just thought that's journaling. And I'm going to try and start doing it more.
Will you ever listen to that 40 minute one back?
I tell you what I'll do with it, Wendy. I will transcribe it. I'll put it into ChatGPT and say, can you summarise my thoughts, please, and organise them for me?
Fuck yeah!
Oh, God. AI.
I love you.
Again, that is about preferences. People call them, like, reasonable adjustments. Well, what's reasonable to one person isn't reasonable to another, and adjustments, like, doesn't... It's just a preference. So your preference for journaling is by voice. Like, why are we making it so, like... Oh my God.
Rigid.
Something different. It's
yeah.
Like, just do.
There doesn't need to be like the.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You see the videos on Instagram, don't you, of the like lighting your candle and getting your green tea.
Fuck
and sitting
that.
Down and
your, bore
and
off.
Your music down and getting your like beautiful journal. And I think,
no,
oh,
what I would be doing.
I can't do
no,
that.
No, what I'd be doing is I would have some dirty drum and bass on. I'd just be having a little bop around going, bleh. I'd probably MC it onto my voice note. That's what I'd do.
Why not, right? Who's told us that is the way to do things? And don't get me wrong, right? I love a cup of cacao. I love a bit of incense going on. Some days I'm really like
none
serene
of that for
chilled.
Me.
But sometimes it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. Whatever works for you. But just please, world, don't tell me that there is one way to do these things and that's the route that's been put out on social media and in the media. There's different ways to do this, and we need to start getting that, like in schools to our kids, to neurodivergent people, and just allowing people to experience this in a way that feels good for them, because it's really helpful. Like, it's so amazing. Yeah. Mindfulness is amazing, but we're just not letting people do it their way, and that's what I'm here for.
I fucking love you. Okay, one final question, Amy Polly. Where's it gone? Oh, there it is.
Because you're so pretty, by the way.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
Fuck me.
I was sat here thinking the same.
Thanks, Amy. Funny. Thanks, Buckers. Okay, last question. Can you tell us one piece of clothing, we know what you're going to say, or an outfit that makes you feel your most powerful or beautiful?
Especially for you. The one that you wrap me up. So let me try and describe it, because my description is never going to do it justice. So everybody has to go and look at, is it on YouTube? Yeah, that's right, YouTube. So it is the brightest pink that your eyeballs could handle. And it is a full length tulle dress with extra tulle ruffles at the bottom, extra tulle poking out from the shoulders, and tulle flowers on the shoulders. And it is the most beautiful thing. And when I was with Wendy walking through London, I feel like one of the reasons, apart from it being so pink and bright and big and out there, is that it made people smile. And I don't care how wanky this sounds. I don't care what anybody thinks. This is my truth. I like making people smile.
I love it.
I like bringing a bit of joy to the world. Not with what I'm wearing, but that day it was with what I was wearing. And when we were walking through the tube, and Wendy was there, she can attest to this, people just smiled at us, or they giggled because I was like trying to grab it all up and not get caught in the escalator.
I was screaming with laughter. She's like, legs apart, bleh, trying to bring this dress up. I was trying to record it, and I was like, it was so fucking good. You're trying to walk past and record people while they were to get the smile, but just couldn't get the fucking...
You said that to me at the time. You said, oh my goodness, I wish we could get the behind the scenes of everybody walking past and smiling. And I think that's why, you know, I like wearing things that make me feel like a toddler. Just go to the wardrobe and be like, exciting. And I think that energy then like exudes to other people. And especially like this world can feel really tough sometimes. So when they saw a woman walking through the tube in this massive bright pink dress with a big smile on her face, loving life, I think that energy is contagious. So yes, this makes me feel empowered and happy and lovely.
Ah, love you.
It's so stunning.
I love the bones of you. I love your soul. I love everything. Thank you so much for coming on to my podcast, Amy Polly. I can't wait for everybody to see the photos.
Yay!
That's it for today's episode of Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business on the WooPod with me, Wendy Gannon. This is more than just a podcast. It's part of Female 5 Million. Head to the link in the show notes to find out more about our movement to empower women. If this episode spoke to you in any way, made you laugh, made you cry, or maybe it inspired you, share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Leave us a rating and a review, and let's keep this movement growing. And while I've got you here, my photography is the way that I fight back against the patriarchy. I empower female founders with the confidence to be themselves in their business, to really enjoy their photo shoot and actually love their photos, so then they can grow their business, increase their prices, and get paid what they fucking deserve. If you want to work with me, drop me a message. All the info you need to contact me is in the show notes. Until next time, keep doing you, and remember, you are part of something bigger. Bye!